This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everybody, welcome back to Pod Maverick. This is Kirk Henderson, joined as always by Josh Bow. We are coming to you a little before 8:30 on Tuesday, May 27th. Josh, how you doing?
Doing okay. Hanging in there. How about yourself?
Well, you know, I do this thing most shows when you and I talk where I'm like, hey, I'm going to host a live show. And then it seems I'm just like perpetually a liar.
To be fair, you the universe is pretty much trying to get you to do something, but I don't know what they're trying to get you to do.
Like just walk into the sea. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago I had field day, and which I had just forgotten, my son's field day I signed up for and just forgotten that I'd signed up for it. And then by the time it was, I was so sunburnt, I didn't want to do it. This week, last Friday, I had to go to an orthopedic surgeon because my 9-year-old son dislocated and fractured his elbow playing basketball. So we were actually really falling as a result of playing basketball. So Friday, we were at the orthopedic surgeon getting a cast put on. Sounds real gross, is real gross. He'll be fine. But I was going to tell you before the show, it's like my day is like kind of a comedy of errors. He can't go to any of the camps we have signed up for him for a while. So he's just home. And, you know, he's a little boy. And he isn't really very good at playing by himself. And so he tends to kind of drive us crazy when he's home. But what I decided to do this morning and tonight is I basically took him out to the front and we're practicing our form shooting, which is pretty neat. He's gotten pretty good at it. But then I made him do a bunch of body weight exercises so he would go to sleep. Like we're outside of our house and he and I were doing just squats and lunges. I'm sure my neighbors think I'm a psychopath. It has nothing to do with like any actual athletic sport training. I just want him to go to sleep because if it were up to him, he'd be like, no, it's party time. And it is, it's party time here in Mavsdom. You and I, kind of touched base earlier today. We're at this, winning the number one overall pick is really cool, but it also takes an unbelievable amount of drama out of the situation. And instead we're now kind of fast forwarding to late June, early July, everybody's favorite Dallas Mavericks accounting talk.
Yeah. So there's no debating draft prospects. So now we're debating trade proposals and free agencies and all that stuff.
Well, and we should make this clear off the top. You and I are neither cap experts nor trade aficionados. Our man, CBA Mavs, Scott, who likes to do this stuff in his spare time, but honestly is just too busy nowadays to really help regularly. This would have been really his time to shine because we're just the Dallas Mavericks. It's so funny. The Luka trade really like put some things in stark perspective. But kind of no matter whether Luka was traded or not, this offseason, this particular offseason, was going to be one that had a lot of questions. Yes?
Yes, I think so.
So I think maybe before we sort of talk about potential trade stuff and things that we like and understanding that we're just having a good time here, I'm sort of interested in your opinion about what you think knowing what we know about the team and the roster makeup, what do you think is sort of the most pressing off-season challenge or question, however you want to phrase it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely what are they going to do with the front court logjam? Mm-hmm. Because it's multiple layers where just the roster itself is a little imbalanced. Not a little. It's very imbalanced. And then the contract stuff is weird because PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford are both, you know, Gafford's on his final year of his deal, and reports have indicated he wants to be paid more like a starter. And then I think PJ Washington is extension eligible this year, but he's coming up close to a new contract as well. So it makes things interesting in the sense that you've got all these forwards and centers. You can't play all of them at the same time. I mean, you could, but I don't know if they
kind of hope they
will. I think that, I mean, they're going to have to if they don't make
a trade. I just really hope they do. Like, the more I was visibly annoyed when Kid like talked about like maybe we could play Cooper at the two, like didn't reference his name, so he's not allowed to, but it's like there's a certain Rick Carlisle sicko to me where it's just, do you remember when we kept like back when Carlisle would run the three guard sets way before going small was popular, we would always wonder if he would go like small ball five. Like this is why the Pacers are his like pride and joy, because you can just do that stuff now. But I sort of wonder, I really kind of hope they do run some like obnoxiously big ball lineups just so we can see it.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to, if they don't make a trade, they're going to have to, because right now, I mean, I don't think Cooper Flagg is coming off the bench.
No.
But I also don't know if Klay Thompson is coming off the bench, because I think we talked about this last week. He doesn't leave Golden State if he knew, you know, he wasn't going to leave Golden State to be a bench player. Like he's, despite the place of where he's at in his career.
Yep.
That's where a lot of the friction started that allowed him to leave in the first place, was he still thought he was Klay, which is, you don't blame him because he's hyper competitive. He's won four titles and he still shot the ball really well. So I don't think he's going to be cool with coming off the bench for a team that is going to struggle to contend for a title. So if you don't bench Klay and you don't bench Cooper Flagg, which I don't think they want to do, by default, they're starting a lineup next season. If they don't make any major changes and no one gets hurt, it's going to be Klay, Cooper, PJ, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively,
just or really Daniel hilarious. Gafford.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, there you go.
And Brandon Williams, like, is that like the starting point guard?
Well, okay, you start Brandon Williams. Are you putting Cooper Flagg on the bench to start Brandon Williams?
It's a great question.
Are you putting Klay Thompson on the bench to start Brandon Williams? Like, I don't know how that goes over.
That's why this is just so funny to me. And like, I've really, as the summer goes on, I'll get progressively more annoyed with the hopium, because basketball is still about having the best players, but team construction also matters a ton. It just does. And Dallas does have a talented group of players. Like, that is something I want to make crystal clear.
I don't think it's arguable, right?
But it's like how those pieces fit mm-hmm. together, I think, is really, really lost on people, where it's like, oh, well, we can do this. And I've been watching these playoffs and these finals, and it's just big men are kind of an afterthought. It's not to say wing, it's, you know, skilled players still rule the day, and the Mavericks have skilled players. It's just, there's some goofiness that goes into being very confident that the Dallas Mavericks will be a very good team next year. I'm not ruling it out. I'm just seeing some really ugly basketball. Now, that could be ugly basketball with wins. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just odd. So
no, it is odd. I mean, really, it comes down to how much. I mean, it comes down to if they decide to make a trade, whether that's Daniel Gafford or PJ Washington. I know, you know, our site is running a three-part series on why it should be Anthony Davis is the one that should be traded. And like, if I was the GM, that's what I would do. But I mean, realistically, you know, we can't talk about like Nico's not going to, he's just not going to trade Anthony Davis. Like,
no,
he's just not going to do it. So it feels, you know, I'm glad we're writing about it on the site. You know, we got to fill out the days here, but if we're trying to talk about what's realistic, I just don't think that's realistic. So, the question just becomes then, okay, how much is Anthony Davis seriously committed to wanting to play the four? Because there's probably a way you can get away with it for two reasons. One, not these guys aren't going to stay healthy. Like Derek Lively has shown, he can't stay healthy so far. Anthony Davis has shown he hasn't gotten healthy. So it might work itself out where Cooper Flagg's playing the three or the four because Davis or Lively are either one of them are hurt or having to sit out. And then the other part of it is, you know, do the Mavericks come to, is there a come to Jesus moment where it's like, hey man, you got like, they come to Davis and it's like, look at our roster. Like,
look at the numbers.
Look at the numbers. The best thing for us is for you playing the five. So maybe they do the ceremonial. They'll start Davis with a center, but maybe they'll do the what the Lakers did in 2020, where they play a starting center for 15 minutes or so and for a game. And then the rest of it is Davis at the five. They close games at Davis at the five.
Yeah,
they could do that. Maybe that limits the wear and tear on Derek Lively, which sounds silly for, you know, what, a 20, 21 year old, however old he is right now. But clearly he's a little fragile through his first two seasons in the NBA. So maybe that's a way to limit his minutes. So maybe it keeps him healthier, keeps him on the floor more for more games. So maybe that's what they do. Maybe they stagger it. Even then they probably have to trade. You probably have to trade Gafford or, you know, cause I don't think you can have a backup center like that. Cause Davis should be your backup center, right? Like that should be the first substitution.
It's a slot down, right?
Yeah. And then you move PJ up a spot, you move Cooper up a spot, and then you play with it from there. So I think they could get away with it without making a trade. There'll still be some moments where it will look weird and it will look ugly. But yeah, that's kind of the $1 million question. I just don't know what they're going to do. I can't imagine they stand pat. Like, say what you will about Nico, that guy just makes trades. Like,
big swings.
The idea that he will go through this summer and not try to make a big trade, like not counting something on the margins. Like, I have a feeling he will try to make at least one trade that's like shakes up the rotation in a meaningful way, just because he's been doing that pretty much every transactional cycle that he's been in Dallas.
Yep. So, I mean, I asked you the question of, you know, what's the biggest thing, and ours are obviously related. I think I'm a little more specific in that it's for me, it's a question of who goes between Gafford and PJ Washington. Like, it's just the two expiring contracts. The longer you hold on to those expiring contracts, I think there's an argument to be made that it increases their value. But I think what you just said there hits the nail on the head, that Nico Harrison does like to make moves that have impact. And I think if you wait until the trade deadline, and this is where this gets really dicey, because you start talking about like Kyrie Irving's health, like the Mavericks are in all likelihood, this is just the nature of this. The Mavericks are going to be like a 44-38 basketball team. Like, that's just sort of what, you know, swing. Honestly,
that's way more optimistic than I expected from
you. Sure, but you know, you could swing it down six games and I wouldn't be
either
surprised.
Way. Yeah,
because it's like my friend of me of the podcast, Matt Moore, says, like, you just, five games for every team in the league are absolute garbage fire toss-ups, and you just have to sort of say that this could swing five games either direction. So it's like, if you think they're a true 500 basketball team, then okay, maybe they're 36 and 40, you know, whatever it is. It's kind of that, like 36 and 40, would that be it? No, that's 76 games. Whatever. They could the right around 500, give or take 3 to 4 games is what I expect of this Mavericks team. But if you get to early February, and depending on how the schedule breaks down and depending on how the Mavericks come out looking, if they're around 500, I think at that point they've sort of lost leverage, because it's like, what are you pushing for? This is like one of the uncomfortable conversations that we keep having to go back to. It's like, you know, yeah, there's an opportunity for, you know, a team like the Timberwolves, who are I think they're the sixth seed, right? Just like the Mavericks were the five seed last year, to win a couple of rounds. But at the end of the day, the team with the most talent almost always wins out. Like, we just, you know, we saw it last night with the Wolves giving it every single thing they had, minus a decent Anthony Edwards performance, and they almost won, but it just wasn't good enough. And that's one of the things that makes the Nico trade so vexing, where it's just like he thinks that they improved, whereas, you know, getting to the finals requires an element of luck that no one ever really wants to discuss. And if the Mavericks are a, let's just be generous and say 6-10 team, like they could be in that function. And, you know, a particular move like they hope to make this year would move them up a couple of spots. What does that actually do for you? And I know we're really projecting down the line, but it's sort of interesting to me because I after watching these playoffs, this team as constructed right now and the addition of Cooper Flagg, it's not a contender. It's just not.
No, mainly because of even if you like every, like the Kyrie thing is just, I mean, it's a killer. It's a killer all the way around. Like he's literally your only main primary perimeter playmaker. That, you know, obviously they can make a move and get another one and maybe that changes things, but it's the combination of the fact that not only is he going to be gone till earliest January, but then when he's back, you cannot guarantee that from when he returns to the end of the season that he's going to resemble the Kyrie that we saw last season. And if people want to be optimistic and say that he's going to come back in January and he's going to look like his all NBA self and he's going to be making 40% of his threes and he's going to be the Kyrie we know, I mean, that's okay. Like, okay. But just the history and the science and what we've seen is that it even in the most optimistic self, like these guys just take a few months to get back to where they were. Jamal Murray was like 24 years old when he tore his ACL.
He started having
took him months
before he like still him. Has problems because he has like hamstring stuff that's like downhill from it. And I have a hard time discussing this on the social media sites where everybody kind of reads your worst intentions.
And well, and I want to interpret it as if you think Kyrie's not going to look like himself, like that's some indictment on Kyrie.
Right. Not at all.
No. He like it's just medicine, like modern. Like, I don't know, like just how the human body works.
I would prefer the Mavericks be in a situation where what Kyrie brings to the team when he rejoins the team in a playing fashion is a bonus, not a necessity.
Right.
And that's just a real, like, that's a lot to ask because, you know, we'll talk about his free agency, potential free agency down the road, but it's a bit of a tricky situation right now. All right. We somehow ended up talking 15 minutes without even throwing any sort of trade concepts out into the world. What have you seen that you actually like? Or hate? That's that, like, what?
Well,
give me, like,
I've got a great trade that everyone loved is the Mavericks should trade for Jrue Holiday. Right? Everyone loved that one.
Talk to me about it.
No, I don't feel particularly strong about that either way when I posted it, but you know, the framework is complicated. I'm not going to get into the cap stuff because I just don't have the mental capacity to put it all around. But the big picture parts of it would be like, you know, it'd have to be Gafford, PJ, and then, you know, Dwight Powell opts in and that gets the money right for just Jrue Holiday. The problem then, though, is I think what CBA Mavs told me is that like that trade is technically feasible, but you do it and you're only at 13 players on your roster and they're kind of and they're at that hard second apron where they can't. They've got, I think he said they would have $2.8 million so they could sign one veteran minimum and they wouldn't be able to sign anyone else. So they'd be in that for the whole season. They'd be in the same spot that they were this past season where if someone gets hurt, they can't sign anyone. Like, they just have to keep rotating through two-way guys. So it's probably not feasible because, yeah, maybe that trade works technically, but if they can't, if it limits their ability to even just add minimum contracts in case something goes wrong, they probably won't do it. But they also probably wouldn't do it because Jrue Holiday's owed a lot of money and he has
a lot of money.
Like three more years of a lot of money for a player that is clearly on the downslope.
Actually, and Jrue Holiday, the player, I think what the Mavericks would need from Jrue Holiday, the player, would be more than he's like, because the Bucks were sick of him because they expected too much from him. And then he gets to the Celtics and he looks a lot better because he's expected to do less. It would be the same situation in Dallas where the Dallas just needs a functional guard. And he would just, you know, he shot the ball decently, but he didn't score that much.
On paper, you can convince yourself if you haven't been paying attention to how he's, you know, Jrue Holiday, because you look at it and you're like, wow, Kyrie, Drew,
I mean,
Cooper, Anthony Davis, Lively is like, turns, you put that on paper and you're like, wow, that sounds great. But then you got to, yeah, now
he turns 35 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And like, then you got three more years.
It would be hilarious if the like, I wouldn't even know. I would be mad eventually, but I would probably spend the first, like, I would come on this podcast like cackling like a hyena.
I know. His archetype makes a lot of sense for this team and next to Kyrie, but again, also it's not who he is anymore.
It would fit Mavericks history where we spent most of the 20 teens pining for players only to get them like 4 years after they were done. Like the Darren Williams of it all. Like there are just so many.
DeAndre Jordan.
Classic. Yeah. So that's an interesting one in that it's sort of what it does is really highlights, and this is not Nico Harrison's fault. I need to be clear about this. I'm pretty hard.
This was going to be, yeah, anyway, regardless.
This is a CBA construction where, and again, friend of me of the podcast, Matt Moore said this to me where he said they really screwed up by not having a, what happened to Michael Finley when he was a Maverick?
Amnesty.
Just one amnesty thing to like basically help teams get out of jail. And I sort of think what ends up happening here is you have roughly 10 teams with cap space, but they're all horrible teams. And I could be getting the numbers wrong, so nobody really fact check me, but go with me for point of theory here. Then you have the other 20 teams who are over the cap, 10 of which are either over the apron or like right up against it. And so the idea, and I see this a lot where it's like, oh, we can just move salary. We can do this and do that. You can't. There, at a certain point, there's no one to move salary to. This is effectively a hard cap, which is what the NBA wanted. And the punishments are punitive, where you start to get just destroyed. Like my favorite was the one account that I accused of being a Nico burner when it turns out to just somebody who knows him professionally, like was making the argument of, oh, well, the Mavericks can use trade exceptions. No, you can't. You can't absorb anyone into trade exceptions if you're over the first apron, and the Mavericks go over the first apron the moment they have to sign Cooper Flagg into like the league. Like this is the first time where league like years when the things start are actually pretty important. So the Mavericks have some stuff they have to figure out. So that's this trade is a pretty fun one. And if only in that it highlights the challenges.
Yeah. I just did another one. I don't even know if it makes sense, but money wise it works. That's where it's coming to. Like I just have, if it money wise it works, it's almost like that becomes like the default instead of, does it actually make basketball sense? Right. Cause it's so hard to make the money work now that the basketball part of it almost doesn't matter as much because it's so hard to get the apron and the cap stuff. Right. Daniel Gafford for Coby White and Julian Phillips, who you don't need to know who Julian Phillips is. He's literally just there to make the money work. So essentially Daniel Gafford for Coby White from the Bulls, fills a need for the Mavericks, but again, like why would Chicago do that? I don't know. Like, what's the benefit?
Coby White came on pretty so good. Strong, yeah. And it's a fat, like
he's still young.
But then the flip side, you kind of look at that. The reason you look at that, just like as a Mavs fan, that's hopeful. And I, because normally I make fun of stuff like this. The Bulls have baffling business practices. So it's
presumably the Mavericks would have to throw in a pick or something there. Cause again, like Gafford's, maybe you're not saving the Bulls any money because White is also on the final year of his deal. I think, unless he signed did he sign an extension? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. But so I don't even think you'd be saving the Bulls any money there, which I know that's definitely a priority for the Bulls ownership is to how can we save as much money as possible at the expense of winning. That money works and like he's the type of guard, like that range, that tier of guard, Coby White is probably who the Mavericks are going to try to target to fill in the gaps while Kyrie is out. Cause it's someone that's good enough to hold the fort down, but someone that isn't making so much money or is such a high tier player that when Kyrie comes back, it's not awkward if you have to split them up or, you know, whatever you need to do. So yeah, he's on the last year of his deal. He'll be an unrestricted free agent next summer.
It's sort of frustrating. So you're just like trading problems, and like Gafford, for example, was already a Bull. I don't know if the Mavericks would do that to him. It just starts. This is why, like, the Dalton Triggs of the world have a field day. But even to his credit, he's not even suggested anything that really makes any sense. And it's not for lack of want. It's just it's kind of dicey. There, you know, you mentioned the posts that are on Mavs Moneyball right now. The real fun ones are unrealistic. Meaning trades, you start with trading Anthony Davis. It's like there's a lot of fun things you can do with Anthony Davis because there's actually some teams that he would fit in pretty nicely with.
Right, because he's valuable and he's good, and you can actually feel like you could get something back for him, and it's not just like a wing and a prayer trade like some of these other ones that we concoct.
Right. No, I mean, and Damian Lee posts trade for Trae Young. Like, that was one of the ones he suggested, using Anthony Davis as a thing, and it's so dicey because I'm of the opinion that they need to move on from Anthony Davis just so he can get a fresh start. But it just, Nico's just not going to.
He's not going to do it. If we were the GMs, I think, we would do it. But we,
instead, I the one that I like, and I have no idea if this is feasible, but Isaac Harris tweeted it. I'd been thinking it, but I wasn't so bold as to actually tweet it, where he's like, you know, more and more, I really like the concept of Lonzo Ball in a Mavericks uniform.
Oh, I've wanted him since he was in New Orleans, or I wanted him since he was in LA.
I like it.
I love his game.
I like it because I think it either really works and the Mavericks are actually pretty good, and then the sort of, you know, top four, five team in the West thing that everybody hopes for could come to pass, or the flip side is it absolutely shoves the Mavericks into having to make like big time decisions on the future rather quickly.
Why does he is his contract's not that bad?
No, it's like $10 million, but it's the point being is like if you you trade for him to be your point guard to soak up some of the Kyrie Irving minutes, and if he gets hurt, then you have to play Clay and point guard.
Yeah.
Like
I didn't even thinking about using Lonzo to help get through an injury thing is kind of funny considering we didn't even know
if this guy could play
basketball. Yeah,
this guy is
pretty much irreparably effed up his knees. Yes, you want to talk about bad training staffs, folks? You should
poor guy. And so I'm just that to me, it's the gamble that does what everyone wants, which is like, oh, okay, well, this is a relatively inexpensive guy. I think he makes like $10 million with a player option.
Yep.
Like you could probably find a way to make that work with somebody else, relatively straightforward, and get, you know, one of the guys we've talked about, you know, onto a new location, so maybe they could get a new contract. And then if he ends up working, if you get like a surprise, you know, let's just say 55 games at Alonzo Ball, which seems like a lot, and you're able to tread water and be above that 500 threshold, and then Kyrie comes back in March and you're, oh, okay, well, let's see if we can make a run let's see if we can grab the sixth seed. I could say, you know, that's just kind of the sum of all positive things coming together in a reasonable place. But is there anything else out there? There's some free agency stuff that's making me want to vomit.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul is Mark Stein reported that Chris Paul is a possibility as a free agent target, which
I have some standards.
If you take the emotions out of it, I mean, it makes sense.
You want to know what I really thought of? Is I thought of that Shredder meme where he's walking with the turtles and then he's old and the other one.
You mean Splinter?
Splinter, sorry. And it's like a reverse Splinter meme where it's like poor Cooper Flagg being escorted around by all these geriatrics. Like,
oh, yeah. That'd be funny.
I mean, Chris Paul's been in the league how many seasons? Like, is he older?
But if you need a one-year stopgap, I mean, he fits the bill. He literally just did that for San Antonio, and it was working okay until their season went bad.
He's 20 years in the league. So he would have been in the league more than, oh my God.
No, no. But if you're signing him for, I know why you don't want him here, but in terms of like, if you just, he wouldn't hurt anything for 1 year, but
he played a lot last year too.
He still plays.
I wonder how many games he played.
He would have played more. I think they kind of winded him down after their season kind of
82 games.
Oh yeah.
He played all 82.
Yeah, dude.
That's remarkable. 28 minutes a game, too.
Yeah, you did all right.
All right, got to respect that, even as a hater.
But yeah, Dennis Schroeder was another name I think I've seen tossed around. Get him out of Detroit, which is, again, that same level of just someone to fill the minutes.
It also fits the Mavs' German quotia. Because the Mavericks would have gone like 25 straight seasons with a German on the roster.
They've started a German on the roster every year since
1998. 27 years.
This year will be the first if they don't get one. All right. Yeah, go get Dennis then. Keep that up. Okay.
That's a good one. Oh, yeah. It's going to get weird, but what more than anything else, I think it's a lot of like discussion fodder, which is nice.
Yeah.
I don't want to go off the deep end at any point just yet. That's all.
I was about to go off the deep end.
Oh, no, do it then.
Oh, I mean, I tweeted this before. I don't know if we talked about it, but you know what's hilarious is that Anthony Davis and Giannis Antetokounmpo's salaries are exactly the same for next season. So I'm just saying, if Giannis wants to get out and the Bucks do not have an incentive to be really bad after trading Giannis because they don't have any picks.
They don't own their own picks.
Could they get a better player back that could right now than, you know, if they could get a better package back for Giannis in terms of like picks and young players and stuff like that. But in terms of who's the best player for the next 2 years they could get back theoretically in a Giannis trade, don't know how much better you'd get than Davis, who, despite my personal reservations, like I can't deny that he's still an impact. You know, he's still a good player, very good player, still, you know, an all-star fringe all NBA guy if he can play, you know, the 65 games to get there. So, you know, I could see you could do something there, but then again, you're just replacing one, you know, that, like, I don't even know what the team would look like after that, but I don't even know if Giannis would want to leave. I don't think he'd want to leave Milwaukee and go to a situation that's not. If he's leaving Milwaukee, he's going in somewhere where there's no question we are a finals team. Like, he's not going to waste, because he might as well stay in Milwaukee then, you know? Like, why would he come to Dallas?
Spurs.
Yeah, you know, he would have to go or Houston.
Makes me want to barf.
I know. Of course, like, why would he go from a middle of the pack Milwaukee team to middle of the pack Dallas team? Unless you think Cooper and Giannis would be a championship contender, but yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so I'm gonna insert some ads here, then Josh and I will be back. We're gonna talk about a couple more guys, really just kind of review their seasons real quick, and then we'll get out of Dodge. So thanks for hanging out, and if you haven't, please let me know if there are ads in this. If there's still no mid-roll ads, it's been like 8 weeks with this new company, I'm gonna be like, what is going on? So we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, welcome back to Pod Maverick. This is Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe. We're going to continue kind of our short stab at player reviews for different Mavericks for this season. If you haven't subscribed to the show, go ahead and do so. Really appreciate that. This Friday at about 3 or 3:30, I'll be hosting, for real this time, an actual live show where you can come talk Mavs with me. We'll have some fun. Be looking for that link. I'll try to get up in a couple of days, actually. I usually don't put it up until like 2 hours before, which is not great. That's just mainly me forgetting. So, all right. Who were the first guy that I think we just sort of got a laugh at real quick? It's not fair, but it's like, it's so bizarre to me that we're somehow in year 270 of Dwight Powell with the Dallas Mavericks.
About to get year 271.
I mean, he has played. He's like, where is he on the all-time Dallas Mavericks, like played games list? It is something outrageous. I'm looking this up on Basketball Reference. He didn't really play very much this year. He somehow actually appeared in 55 games, which is more than I would have, absolutely more than I would have thought. But it's crazy to me that this is a guy who has just been with the team going on. Was it the 2014 right before the trade deadline? So he's like 11 years in now.
Rondo, he was part of the Rondo trade.
I mean, it's the Dwight Powell trade at this point. I think we got to figure that out. 2000 Mavs page. Who are the... See, I can't find the page that I'm looking for like all-time Maverick stuff. That's my fault for not having this stuff up in advance. But he's easily in like the top five, I think, by now of all-time games played.
He is fifth, 700 games.
Gosh.
Probably going to stay there because he's a... Well, actually, I don't know.
No, man, he's on the team next year. And then the year after that, I think, is a
he's 100... Oh, go ahead. No.
It might be a player option this year.
It is a player option this year, which he will opt in. I can't imagine he wouldn't, but he could get traded. Who knows? But he's 165 games away from Rolando Blackman for fourth. But the thing is, if he gets to fourth, he's really... I mean, if he stays in Dallas for like three more years, he could be... behind Dirk. Like, I'm just looking at the list, because once he gets to fourth, which is he's at 700, fourth is 865, then third is Derek Harper at 872, and second is Brad Davis at 883. So, like, I mean, if he plays 200 more games in Dallas, which is what, that's like four or five more seasons, give or take, playing around 70 games, which that seems like a lot. I don't think it'll happen, but I mean, good Lord. I mean, he's close.
I just love the idea of it. And it's so funny because it's May of 2025, May of 2022. This guy was a starting Western Conference Finals center because the Mavericks had no other options. They just had to play this guy. He's taken a lot of heat over the years because the Mavericks relied on him too much, which is a bizarre sentence. And now they just have so many centers that it's like, oh, well, is he going to have to play point guard? I don't know, man. It's a wild thing. But, you know, he's on the team.
He's good for the locker room, you know.
People like him. One of the funnier things that never occurred to me is the games that I've been to, the ladies in the crowd love Dwight Powell. Like, absolutely find him handsome as all get out. It's happened three different times where I've been like, wait, what? Where I've just like, it just never occurred to me. Dwight Powell, handsome man.
Good, he dressed well. I'll just say that as someone who's covered him in the locker room, he has some nice suits.
Yeah. He's you know, I like the guy. That's actually part of one of the, you know, there's just something to that where it's like, if you're likable, you're just going to be kept around in the professional environment.
So. Yeah. I think even the haters would agree that like, he's a good dude. And like, you like having these guys around your locker room. The part that people don't like is when he has to play, which I get it, but like, to be fair, he's been a non-factor for years now, so you don't have to worry about too much. But yeah, I mean, I get it. He started 64 games in the 2023 season, which was not that long ago.
It's crazy.
Now he's only started, what am I looking at? He started 12 games the last two seasons combined. So like, they finally weaned themselves off of him. But I think people still, just anytime they see him, it's like a PTSD reaction to the dark years of 2018 and 2017.
We'll see you next year, Dwight Powell, because of course we will. Now this guy is fascinating. Olivier Maxence Prosper, second year player for the Dallas Mavericks. He's going to be 24 in July. No, I'm sorry, 23 in July. He played 52 games with the Mavericks this last year before he went down. One of the many people that went down in what felt like just like essentially a horror movie of injuries, where didn't he mess up his ankle?
I thought it was his wrist.
Man, professional podcasters, Josh.
I know.
Anderson.
I could have
pulled out for this.
Yeah, right. He had to have surgery on his right wrist.
And he had nickel and dime thing throughout the whole year. It's an interesting thing. So, you know, the Mavericks traded in back into the first round in 2023 to get him. He's a perfect kind of gamble, and he's just a reminder that drafting older players, the draft is hard, and really drafting older players, you're drafting on them not hitting, having hit their developmental peak. And the fact of the matter is, most development, and I'm learning this just as we go, like as we've gotten more, you know, Cooper Flagg's a good Luka, for example. Most of your key developmental leaps as a basketball player happen before you're 22. And the Mavericks had this guy before he was 22, played him down with the G League. He just doesn't have it.
Yeah. So far, for sure. I mean,
like, what is his NBA skill? Energy?
Length? Presumably defense, but he's still got, you know, a lot to work on there. Team defense. And it's the things that came out of college where in one-on-one situations, he looks pretty good, but in team concepts, he can be a little lost. But yeah, I don't know what else to say. He played 52 games, but, you know, numbers didn't really pop out. Nothing really jumped across the board. He didn't make any type of noticeable leap. And I guess, you know, that, like you said, that's a concern. He's 22, going to be going on 23 sometime next season. You're running out of opportunities for leaps. Like, that's part of the benefit of drafting a, you know, he was a junior when he came out of the draft, 21 years old. It's like, okay, well, if you're not drafting a guy that's 19 or 19 years old, hopefully he's ready a little faster, you know, like a Desmond Bane-esque. To say that Prosper was ever at that level of a prospect, just trying to say, you want, the benefit is maybe the ceiling isn't as high, but the floor should be higher, right away. And he looks just as raw as any, you know, 19-year-old freshman coming into the NBA, which is a little disappointing. But yeah, I mean, he was a 24th pick. Didn't really cost them much to move up. You do that every time, but it just goes to show. I mean, maybe he'll be good in like 3 years. Who knows? Like, I don't know what his future is. Knowing the Mavericks roster construction as it is, I don't see where he gets. The problem is he needs to play.
Right.
I think he just needs minutes. He needs to get on the floor. He needs the Dorian Finney-Smith treatment, where Dorian Finney-Smith with the Mavericks got to play like two or three seasons on awful teams, and he got to average like 25 minutes a game and play 73 games or whatever it was for like three straight years before they were any good.
And I was so out on that guy until Luka came along, because Luka came in and he shot 8% better all of a sudden. I remember that whole time being like, this is a fluke. Yeah. It wasn't a fluke. The shot quality was just better.
Right. So, but the thing is like, he's just never going to, like, he's behind, you know, Lively, Gafford, Davis, PJ, Cooper Flagg. Like, tough where deal. Where he's not going to get on the floor, and he needs to get on the floor to play. So, yeah, we'll see. It's one of those things where not really his fault. Mavericks took a good chance. Maybe he gets better down the road, but I just don't see where he develops here, considering how the roster's laid out, unless they make some seismic changes.
Well, and that brings us to kind of somebody on the polar opposite of this. Is G League guard with the Mavericks for almost the entire season. Brandon Williams, out of Arizona. Never remember him even playing in Arizona. His NBA debut was actually back in December of 21, if you'll believe it. He's bounced around for a little while. I think he dealt with injuries and he was elsewhere. He came along and just sort of hung with the Mavericks. He was the G League's leading scorer for a really long time. He might have ended the season that way, but I think he only played like 8 games. He was with the Mavericks roster a ton, to the point to where the Mavericks had to get cute with his usage, because you can only dress a certain number of games before you run out of your two-way eligibility. And then he did, and then the Mavericks signed him to a two-year, it's like the end of the 2024-25 season, and then a 25-26 season contract where he's with the team next year. Only whatever they did it stupidly, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. So if the Mavericks happen to really like him, they're probably shit out of luck. But that's a problem for down the road. He appeared in 33 games with the Mavericks, shot the ball real well, 40% from three, ran the offense pretty well. I liked him, and I'm glad they gave him a contract. Awesome. They needed him, and if there's a guy who is bears responsibility for getting them in, like for helping them hold on to that 10th seed area, even though there's a pretty big gap between 10 and 11, it is Brandon Williams. He did a good job.
Yeah, he was great. You know, most of his damage was, I mean, his best months were February, March, April, and as you know, that is the weird part of the NBA season. So you don't want to take too much stock into it, but I mean, for the month of March, he was averaging 16.5 points a game on 54% shooting. Like that's pretty good. Even if you're in the dog days of the NBA calendar, like you still have to produce. Like you still play those games; they still count in the record books. Obviously, he's smaller, and that compromises their defense a little bit. He's 6'1". But man, the thing that really impresses me with him is that not only does he have zip. Like he's got good pace. Like it's one thing to be really quick with the ball as a guard. It's another thing to kind of know when to use it.
Yeah.
And he seems to know when to use it. Like I was really impressed with his ability in the pick and roll. There are a few plays where teams would like trap him and he would split the trap faster than the trap could kind of coalesce, together. And he would beat it, and then all of a sudden you're looking at you're basically playing what 4-on-3 on the back end because you just split a double team really fast, and like that's it's stuff that you would see from like well seasoned starters, not you know a guy that had only played he played about 40 games before he came to Dallas in his NBA career over across two years for the most part. So I was really impressed with his headiness. I was impressed with his, not only his physical ability, but the way he kind of read the floor. Really good, like passer too. Like his assist numbers were pretty good toward the end of the season. I mean, he was the best point guard on the roster to close the season. He was better than Dinwiddie, I think, even though Dinwiddie did have some admirable games down the stretch.
Yep.
But like he was in the play-in, he had 17 points in the first play-in game. And again, that's not dog day. Like that, those are games that you're trying to win, and the other team's trying to win too. He had 17 points on 8 shots, 5 assists, no turnovers, and then even in the game they got blown out against Memphis, 16 points on 12 shots, 7 assists, no turnovers. He had no turnovers across the 2 play-in games. Like I think he's a guy. I don't know how much of a guy, but like he will be a big part, unless, again, if they trade for Kobe White, if they trade for Jrue Holiday, if they trade for one of these point guard names that are available. I don't know how much of his impact will be, especially when Kyrie comes back. But if they don't make a big, big trade, I expect him to be like the first guard. He'll be the first guard off the bench. He might spot start depending on how the lineups look. Like he will be a major player for next season, I think.
Yeah. Well, if anything, it's a reminder of how many. It's nice to have different.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Types of guards. When we're discussing right now that he is currently the only type of guard that the Mavericks have under contract, it just sort of
healthy. Yeah.
Well, that's how, and then we'll talk about Jaden Hardy in next week or at some point, but it's important to understand that we do this with the context of none of us believe Jaden Hardy is a point guard, which is fine. The last guy we have to talk about, not a lot to talk about. Well, I don't know. We could talk about him forever. We could talk about him real quick. The player the Mavericks traded for Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, who played all of 9 games with the Dallas Mavericks. He averaged just under 30 minutes. What else did he do here? His basketball reference page is long. He's played a long time. Let's see here. He averaged about 20 points with the Mavericks, 10 boards, and about 4.5 assists. Pretty good, but statistically down in a significant fashion compared to his 42 games with the Lakers. As we know, he was traded to the Mavericks with an injury. Probably shouldn't have played against Houston, re-injured himself, and then insisted on playing after several weeks for whatever the heck he was doing. I don't really know. I'm trying not to be too biased against Anthony Davis. He just annoys the shit out of me.
If you weren't a fan of him before the trade, I mean, he did not.
The Lakers guys are super defensive about him.
He helped them win a title. I think that's the long and short of it. I mean, that's the thing with him, is that if he's your second best player, you are probably a championship team, because that's what when the Lakers won a championship, he was their second best player, and they started to tail off when LeBron could no longer be, you know, a top consistently.
I mean,
you
expect him to be your best player, like he was for anybody that's old. And watch college basketball. Anthony Davis's college basketball career,
and made maybe even his first few seasons in New Orleans too.
It just made you think this guy is going to be one of the best players of all time. And in the terms of that sentence, since he's the one who referred to himself as a top 75 player of all time, he's right. But he's a top 75 player of all time who has never been the alpha dog on a good team that did anything.
That's right. Cause his New Orleans teams didn't, I don't think he made, did he win a play? Did he ever win a playoff series?
He was in the playoffs. I don't think he ever won a playoff series.
And, yeah. So all of his playoff success has been in LA with LeBron. And that's okay. Like, I mean, it's not that big a deal. Like you still need, like, again, they won a title. So it's not like he can't contribute to a winning team. It's just, if he's your number one guy, especially at his age 32 season after all the injuries, then you're probably not going to be the most competitive team. And that's kind of what the Mavericks were this season, you know, after the trade deadline. Obviously, everyone else got hurt and they traded Quentin Grimes and Kyrie gets hurt. So even if he was completely healthy and looking like himself, looking like his maybe 2024 self.
Yep.
I don't know if it would have made a difference because the injuries were so overwhelming to this Mavericks season. But yeah, if you weren't a fan of him, he did not endear himself to you. He did not change your mind because he gets hurt immediately, which just plays into his rap sheet of, you know, he gets hurt all the time, whether it was his fault or not. Like he did get hurt. And then when he came back, he was clearly limited. Like, I don't know how much of it was a combination of the fact that he wanted to play center, or he didn't want to play center, and I think he wasn't 100%. But most of it, he took a ton of jumpers with the Mavericks, a ton of jumpers. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote about it. I think when he was with the Lakers, the season before, you know, his last full season with the Lakers, I think like something like 28% or something of his shots were jumpers. And in his nine games or whatever with the Mavericks, it was like 40, like over 40% or something. And like, that's not a winning ratio because he's not a good jump shooter. He's a good, maybe like short paint jump shooter. Like if we're picking nits, like if he's shooting jumpers from free throw line in, and I know that's not a lot of room to shoot jumpers, but like if he's around that area, but in terms of like outside the paint to the 3-point line, he is not a good jump shooter. He's flat out never been. And when he plays the four, and when he's obviously physically compromised like he was last season, like he just wasn't going to go to the rim a lot. It doesn't look good. And he had some weird games where he missed a lot of shots because he took a ton of jumpers. So the Mavericks have to, one, get him healthy so that he can feel like he is physically capable of getting to the rim a bunch, which he can do. And then they have to figure out this.
I'm not sure he can do it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe he will never get healthy enough, but they have to figure out the center power forward thing. Because if he's playing the four and he's shooting that many jumpers, regardless of if he's healthier, you know, or if he's banged up, that's just, they're not going to win. He's not a floor spacer. And it's hard for him to score in the paint with another rim running center. So they're going to have to get smart and they're going to have to figure some stuff around that.
And that's what's just so bizarre, that he wants to play next to a five man, where it's like, this is evident in the data.
He desperately wants to be a floor. Like, he's always been.
I mean, he wants to play like LaMarcus like Aldridge. Yeah. And instead, when he's at his best, and so my friend, his name's Darius Soriano. He is a Lakers, like literal Lakers team writer for their media page. But I've known him for years when he was an independent guy. He said this to me when I was kind of bitching about how many jumpers AD shot. He said, AD is best as a finisher next to a skilled downhill guard who can help and play on the move. He's great in the pocket, great as the roll man, great in attacking off the glass.
Yeah, he's
the jumper, he said the jumper is important to his isolation game, and then when that falls, he's unguardable, and he was over-reliant on that in Dallas because he played with zero guards who could be a partner with him. And like, this is where I start to lose my mind about this team construction, because
it's changing.
it's not, and that's not AD's fault.
No.
So instead, he's going to have to do stuff that he's just not good at, or he's not efficient at.
Right.
And we're going to be looking at, and like, the Mavericks devalue him in that situation. Like, they're not going to get the most for him because they put him in a situation where he can't thrive. I don't know.
No, you're right. He could play a little bit. Like, I don't think it's inherently terrible for him to start games at the four, as long as you're playing him a lot at the five, which is what they did with him in 2020 when they won a title. And the Mavericks could still do that. But again, it just, if he doesn't have, he is a play finisher, not a play starter. So the Mavericks don't have a lot of play starters. And even Kyrie, as great as he is, I think he is a great passer, but he's still more scorer than initiator.
The funny part is him and Luka would have just.
Oh yeah. Luka and AD would have been an incredible pair.
For the reasons that LeBron and AD were a great pairing, but
right.
I think Luka's a better passer and scorer at this stage than LeBron. So I don't know. Makes me sad. Trying to think. So we're at almost an hour. We should probably just cut bait and go. My wife popped her head in here and said, I'm not parenting our children anymore. So I don't
know. All right, then it's time to go.
It's a really, really strong sell there. Yeah, we'll be back. We have some more, Josh and I can talk about this stuff for forever. We have some great stuff up on Mavs Moneyball. By tomorrow, there will be Sudar Shan's third piece, which are various trade ideas for Anthony Davis. He wrote close to 4,800 words by the time we had edited him down. shout out to Madness. There's a piece coming on Thursday, a short piece. Eric Dampier Jr. made the U.S. men's national team under 16 squad, which is kind of amazing. So did Marcus Spears' son. Marcus Spears Jr., he's an ESPN analyst, and I'm pretty sure he played football. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yes, he was a defensive lineman. He played and for that, the Cowboys, right?
And then Anthony Black's little brother made the team. And I was just looking at the picture going, and his name is Beckham. And it's like, he just looks like Anthony Black, but smaller. It just cracked me up. Anyway, this has been Kirk and Josh. As always, a fun podcast. We'll be back on Friday. I'll be back on Friday. You guys come hang out with me. Thank you so much. This has been Pod Maverick. Go Mavs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.